Garsh, your life has gone through a whole lot of changes in recent years. I understand you left a high-paying career in the Bay Area and experienced a painful divorce. And share with us what's kind of been going on with, you know, your movement and where you are today.
So I started in the tech industry in 1989 with a small software company. And at that same time, I was attending college, putting myself through college, and actually as a history major at Berkeley. And my intent was to finish my degree because that was the avenue into a lot of the jobs that I was going to be seeking in the tech industry, just quite honestly, to have that piece of paper. But I had a passion for history, and so that's what I studied. But all the while, I knew I would go into the tech industry. And I spent roughly 30 years in the tech industry. From the first position I had, I started out as an individual contributor, and then quickly, through a lot of hard work and diligence, had the opportunity to become a leader in that company. And then it just blossomed from there. So I went from that company to another small software company to a major publicly traded company, and then to a company that was privately held that ultimately went public, and rose through the ranks as I did that through information technology positions, working through with a variety of different clients, largely in the social media space, the finance space, and the healthcare space. And so the last position I held was a vice president position within a large IT organization. And that's the position that I ultimately left and sought retirement after COVID hit. And that was all in the Bay Area. For those 30 years where I was primarily based, and then traveling throughout the country as I did that. So I've visited most of the states, working with various clients and doing that. And as I went through that work, I found that, I truly didn't have a passion for it. I'll say that my passion honestly was for history and reading and studying and diving into archives and those types of things. But I knew I could earn a lot of money in the tech industry. And what that led me to is a somewhat unfulfilling career, although I made more money than I ever thought I would make, especially given my father was a teacher and my mother before she stopped working to raise our family, was a nurse. I made vastly more money than either my parents ever made and that I ever expected to make. And I was really, really fortunate in doing that, but it came with many, many costs to me. So as I grew throughout my career, you know, that came with a lot more responsibility, that came with larger and larger teams that were reporting to me, with a lot more stress. And as I went from company to company, the work changed in that, not only from, you know, public or private to public companies, but also from doing business domestically to doing business internationally. So what that translated into was working Monday through Friday to working effectively all the time, because with international business, especially in information technology, it just doesn't stop. So if some system goes down or some client is upset because something's not working properly, well, they still have to do business. And so the demands of that job became increasingly difficult and increasingly stressful, with making sure that, you know, all the lights were kept on and things were kept running and clients were satisfied. And it really wore on me. And in part, it was because not only the nature of the work and the stressfulness of the work, all of the traveling, But I wasn't, as I mentioned previously, I wasn't really fulfilled in that career. I was making money, but that became a very hollow thing for me. And I will just relate another quick story. I'm giving you a long answer here, but just to relate another quick story. I remember one year after one of the companies I was with sold from one private equity firm to another private equity firm. And at that time, I was really, really blessed to have a lot of equity in that company. And I had completed my taxes. So this would have been right after tax season. And I received those tax returns back. And I was looking them over and I looked at the amount of money I made, and it was completely, I acknowledged that I had made all that money. There was a momentary happiness in making that money, and then I put it aside and realizing there's really nothing to this. So I had while living in the Bay Area, I had multiple houses. I mean, we always had new cars. My children were in private schools that I was paying for. I was a member of a country club. I had a lot of things, but inside I was completely hollow, is what dawned on me. And that I had a lot of things, but I was missing so much in my life. And I just found all of that work and all of that stress and all of the pain that came with that, and that level of responsibility and that wore on me in terms of not being able to sleep effectively and re ever really get away from it and rest. There was just a real hollowness to everything I was doing.
And how did you deal with that discomfort?
So at that time, when my first child was born, my daughter, in October of 2000. My wife at that time was she was raised Catholic, and she that was her faith. That's what she wanted to practice. We agreed that our daughter should be raised in faith. I was raised in a family that effectively had no faith in our household. I never saw my father in a church, quite frankly. My mother, at one point when we were having some crisis in our family, began to do some church shopping. And so when I was probably about 10 or 12 years old, she would take us to various churches and kind of bribe us with a Denny's Grand Slam breakfast or something to try to get us to go. But she was seeking something. But nothing really landed with her, and therefore nothing really landed with our family. And so as a result of that, I really wasn't raised with any faith, either from my parents or from within our household. But when my daughter came along, my wife and I at that time agreed that we wanted faith for our children. And so at that time, I became Catholic and began practicing Catholic down in the Bay Area, as a Catholic in the Bay Area, and largely enjoyed that experience. But for me, I was doing it for other people, not necessarily for myself. And so it was largely a social experience for me. And I had a lot of fellowship there. I had a lot of enjoyment there, but I didn't have a deep faith there. And so, as I had crisis in my life, that wasn't something I necessarily fell back on, and relied on, and turned to God for help in my life, and the things that I was experiencing then. And as a result of that, I was more of a social drinker when a lot of that started, and what happened was I began to rely on alcohol with an increasing rate that became very problematic for me. So, what became, a couple of beers on the weekend, or on a Friday night, that relatively quickly turned into beginning. Friday night became Thursday night, and then throughout the weekend, and then that, backed up into the week. And so I found myself drinking throughout the week, and that only compounded my problem. So Alcohol really affected my sleep. It affected in certain ways my health, gaining a lot of weight and the sleep and the fatigue that came with that. And while I was self-medicating, certainly my problems and my stress level didn't go away. It just numbed it for a time being. And over the years, I found myself increasingly dependent on alcohol, to where I had an alcohol use disorder. And at that time, I didn't recognize it until it became very problematic for me. So, in the absence of faith and turning to God and relying on God, I chose to self-medicate and use alcohol to try to alleviate my fears, alleviate the stress, alleviate my concerns. And that ultimately led to a real problem in my life.
All right. So at some point, you decided to leave the industry, the tech industry, and move kind of into the hills and so forth. How did that happen?
When COVID hit and the lockdowns started, the company I was with at the time followed the mandates that were coming down and asked everyone to work remotely. The company began to run into some financial problems. I was a highly compensated employee and costing the company quite a bit of money. And so at that time, they determined that there was going to be a round of layoffs, and I was included in that round of layoffs. That actually turned out to be what I didn't see at the time turned out to be a real blessing in my life. Because I had no intention of leaving that position until the company sold at the very least, because I had a lot of equity in that company. And as a result of that, I decided if I could work remotely, I could work outside of the Bay Area and in fact anywhere. And so I moved about 3 hours north of the Bay Area and much further up into Northern California, and got out of the Bay Area and got away from a lot of the trappings of that lifestyle. And that turned out to be a monumental blessing in my life, to go from living in a suburban city type area to living in a very rural area. That's just filled with, trees and acreage and, livestock and you name it. It's just such a different world in the Bay Area that it's just almost night and day.
Was there any point where you felt God specifically pointed something out or said, "Hey, why don't you do this?" Where he was, trying to guide you to where he wanted you to be?
As I struggled with my alcohol use disorder, I became more desperate with trying to deal with that. It dawned on me at some point, and I don't remember the exact, date and time or moment, but I knew I was dependent on alcohol at that time. It was affecting as I mentioned, my sleep and my health. It was ex affecting my overall mindset. And I knew I needed to stop drinking. I knew it was just nothing but destructive for me. I wasn't drinking at that point because I even enjoyed it. I was drinking because I had a dependency on alcohol. And what I found myself doing was my wife. Encourage my wife encouraged me to attend the church she is attending, or we are attending today, and encouraged me to join her. And I began to do that, and I really enjoyed that experience, and realized that my faith was growing as I was doing that. And I began to turn toward God, because at that point I didn't have any other answers for what I was going to do with my life or what I wanted to do. My career, with leaving that position, I felt was effectively over, in part because I was out of that area and I really wanted out of that lifestyle. I wanted out of that industry. I really wanted something different for my life. So I turned toward God and began to seek Him, began to pray. The first thing I did was in the morning I would pray. When my head hit the pillow at night, I would pray. And but at that time, I was still drinking as well. And I remember at one point praying at night, saying, God, if you're real, God, if you're there, I need you and I need you now. And I said, but if you have nothing else for me, if you have nothing else you need me for in this life or in this world, then I'm okay if I don't wake up in the morning. And I was 100% serious in that. I was done with drinking. I was done with the way I felt. I was done with the lifestyle I was living and all the trappings of that. And I was just at a really desperate place in my life, and I just prayed to God that, if you've had enough of what you needed me to do here, I'm okay with not waking up in the morning. And of course, I woke up that morning. Here I am today, and began my journey shortly thereafter to get sober and find help. Through my faith that was growing, through Jesus and through a great faith-based program called Celebrate Recovery.
So these days, you're in a role where you're helping other men with similar problems, through rescue mission and so forth.
I am, and it's been some of the most fulfilling work of my life. So once I chose not to seek work in the tech industry, and my wife at that point, as we discussed where we were in our lives and with finances, she really encouraged me, just retire. You don't need to work anymore. We're fine. Just retire. Let's move on to the next phase of your life, and now you can begin to do other things you want to do. You can seek other opportunities that things that you would enjoy versus things that just became drudgery for me. And she was a huge encouragement for me to take that leap. It was such a big step to go from, being on almost 24/7 in terms of work to, the world is your oyster, and now what do you want to do? You have it, almost anything you could pursue. And I prayed about that very often, about God, where do you need me and where do you want me? And how can I best serve you? And I heard some speakers speak about the mission in Reading, and what the service they provide, and one of the important elements of that is it's faith-based recovery. So, which is the same as Celebrate Recovery, to help people overcome their hurts, hang-ups, and habits. And it's based on the 12 steps, but it's also very much grounded in Christian faith. And as I prayed and sought where God needed me, the mission just kept coming up as something I should look into and a direction I should head. I contacted the mission and quickly heard back and found myself in their academic center. And what I do today is volunteer helping out in the academic center. I help out with men who a lot of them are recently off the streets, re recently released from prison or jail. Many have backgrounds of, violence and drug use and just extreme challenges in their life. And the mission gives them an opportunity for shelter, for sustenance, for faith, For work opportunities, for education. It is just such a well-rounded, wonderful program, and it just affects the lives of so many people who find themselves in really desperate situations. And I was, Richard, I was quite honestly pretty trepidatious about going in there. I just didn't know what I was going to face and who I was going to encounter. I knew of at a high level kind of the profile of the people I would encounter there. And those, to be very frank with you, those are people that I would not have associated with in my prior life. Those are people I would, walk past without looking at them twice, or, drive past them, or people I would want to get away from. And what I came to realize very quickly is, these are the least of these. These are the people that Jesus called us to help. And these are some of the most welcoming, gracious people I have encountered in my life. And it dawned on me rather quickly what an opportunity I had missed by looking past some people. And I have found it so incredibly fulfilling to be able to go in there, spend a little time, and help people, seek a GED, seek, a high school diploma, watch them go on to junior college, watch them work toward getting an education in the trades, and really making improvements with their lives. Some of them go on to work at the mission. Others, become counselors in the mission. Many of them go out and find employment outside. But I've been there nearly a year now, working with these men, and I've just seen so many changes in their lives, and it's just incredible to watch the impact that God has on their lives. So it is a deeply faith-based program. And my understanding is you don't have to be a Christian, but you're encouraged to participate in the worship sessions and those types of things. But it is just such a welcoming and wonderful community.
All right, we've just got a few minutes left, and I wanted to ask you, as a volunteer at the rescue mission, as a person with a lot of experience, in various fields of endeavor, how, when you counsel men, when you've had a prayer session with them and so forth, when you and God are kind of reflecting on the day or what's happened, how does your heart feel when you see where you are now versus where you used to be?
That is such a great question. So I look back and reflect on where I was and how my life was just falling apart in so many different ways, and how destructive so many of my actions were, to myself and so many others. And I reflect back with gratitude. Early on in my prayer life, it was asking God, for this, that, and the other thing, and I need this, and can you solve, I need you to solve this problem, and praying big prayers for things that I needed solved or things that I wanted. And I was very immature in my prayer life, and now I find myself at, whenever I pray, it's more often than not just a prayer of gratitude, just thanking God for where I am today and how my life has changed, with really finding God and diving into my faith and really exploring His Word and being able to minister to people and help people. And I get so much out of helping them. I certainly believe I get more out of it in helping them than they do in receiving my help. But I'm just so grateful for where I am today, and I'm just so grateful to God for changing my life, and I'm just so grateful for the opportunity to serve others and try to do some good in this world.
Gosh, I really appreciate you sharing your heart with us. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much, Richard.